Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here. Matthew, I can't see it from my vantage point over here, but does Brianna have a Sent 315 sticker on her Yeti? She has every other sticker. Can you see it?
No, I don't.
I don't think she does.
I think we need to order some.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sent 315 stickers should be everywhere.
We should have shirts and sweaters.
I've been saying that for how long now?
Oh, the whole time, forever.
At least t-shirts.
I don't know. We'll take a look at the budget, our vast
budget.
But
I'd rather have a polo.
I'd rather have one of those little tiny puffy jackets that say North Face on it. That would be good.
Oh, that's cool.
We did in the beginning.
I'd feel too cool if I had that, though.
Yeah, and we don't want that.
No.
Matt, too cool?
No.
I don't know.
That's already cool. He's Italian.
Yeah, there you go. Oh my goodness.
That means I'm hot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Italiano.
And isn't it so weird? I thought about language for a while and I thought, my grandkids are not going to have this language, like Dave uses language from a previous generation, like 23 Skidoo and Boogie Nights.
Full Tilt Boogie.
Full Tilt Boogie, right? But that's going to be lost and gone.
Unless they watch old movies.
Yeah, like Nick at Night, do they still have that? Or Nickelodeon?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
My niece, Aronochi, you're incredible. I love you. Worked on Nickelodeon for years and years, and now she does movies all over the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
no, Aaron.
So cool.
Aaron is something incredibly special, and she is a delight.
Let's get her on the show.
Okay, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. If we could catch up with her, I think she's currently in Hungary with another one of those Johnny Depp movies or something.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
Yeah, and she's the behind-the-scenes person that makes the movie. Without her, the movie is impossible to have.
Hungary is, believe it or not, they are very well-known for being the state-of-the-art of the movie production stuff, especially in Europe.
Yep, and she spent a lot of time there, and she's fabulous. Well,
that's
here
great.
We go.
Love that.
So, Aaron's not on the show today. Who is on the show?
The Holy Spirit.
That's
Holy
right.
Spirit, there we go. This will be great.
Yeah.
So let's just have
three amigos and the Holy Spirit.
That's right. I would say, and I know we were proponents of it, I was a little scared, but Brianna said we should just do an episode where it's just us.
Yeah.
And we did that in the very beginning. Sarah and I would be talking about some of the foundational stuff, about the different styles of evangelism, and then it became like interview.
Yeah.
Just interview the whole time. And there's so many incredible people that we know that our listeners should know. So we just went that way.
Yeah.
So the reason that I was a little nervous at first, Brianna's got some she doesn't even have a box.
She could do the whole show.
Could for sure.
If you just let her go, you just wind her up and let her go.
And we'd be talking about the Loch Ness Monster.
Real.
And all of it.
And then pearl onions from France. And
would we really?
Bigfoot, real.
And then just like, I should have this tattoo, stay on brand. Because we're here for a certain purpose, and that's 1 Peter 3:15.
Amen.
So I have decided today I'll be the bumpers in the bowling alley. So if we go too Brianna-ish, which will be very interesting and fun, we'll see how it ties into people sharing Jesus.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're about.
Okay, so, Brianna, bowl strike.
Take over.
Yeah. I was thinking about sharing Jesus, but I was also thinking about what's happening like in our current lives.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, I don't know, just how we're feeling about things that are going on. Also, if anything has changed within us as we've grown in our evangelism styles. I feel like if I could like pinpoint people, I would be like, Kevin, you're very interpersonal and you're very like relational. And Matt, I think you're personal and relational too. I think like from my perspective, I tend to be a little more argumentative.
Yeah, like my band meter who comes up in every show ever since Brianna came up. But she didn't bring him up.
I didn't bring him up this time.
It was me.
I didn't bring him up this time.
I asked Mike, let's jump. I talked with Mike Van Meter because what he does on social media is very different than what I do, the limited stuff that I do. But I have the types of conversations that Mike Van Meter has on social media with people who are very far from Jesus and anti-Jesus.
For sure.
I have personally with people in person. I don't use that format for it. It's not because I'm a sissy. It's because I can look you in the eye and I have relationship with you. But Mike says, Kevin, I don't have that to argue somebody into the kingdom of God on Facebook or Instagram. I do it so that the people that I know are watching it will learn and be equipped by it. And I went,
peace out. I mm-hmm. get it. I totally get it. That makes sense. And that's just another thing of picking our designs out, how we're made, that we do that.
Right.
So that we don't do somebody else's thing really badly because it's not mm-hmm. us.
Yeah. And I think also, what do we think enough about those who maybe they aren't just like straight up atheists? The people who are on the fence, or the people who maybe they're Christians.
I don't.
Yeah, maybe they're Christians, but they just don't really have a fire to defend their faith or talk to other people.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of the things that we do, like, it's not just those who hate Jesus that are watching. Yeah. It's those who are confused or worried or afraid to share their faith. And so I think of like things like Mike does on the internet. I think of those who are like, you know what? I could also do that. Like, I have the answers. I just don't want to share them because I'm afraid, or because I don't think I'm smart enough, and I'm not as smart as someone with a degree in history and divinity or whatever. So I think that we as Christians also have the ability to encourage other Christians around us by what we do, by how we respond. And
way, yeah.
Yeah. And I think in this season, I haven't really had a lot of conversations where it's somebody who is an atheist or a Jehovah's Witness or a Black Hebrew Israelite, even though I wouldn't be able to talk to them anyway.
Black Hebrew Israelite?
Yeah. Long story short, they believe that African-American people are descended from the 12 tribes of Judah, and Caucasian people or people of white skin are Edomites that will not get into heaven.
Whoa!
And so they stand on the street corner and they preach it like loud, and they're very aggressive. And a Caucasian person.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, yeah. You'll see them like in purple and gold.
Okay.
Like, and usually if you were to walk up to them, they would have a conversation with you, Kevin or Matt, but they would basically say, it's not my fault you're an Edomite. I had nothing to do with that. But because of that, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. If I try to talk to them, they would be like, where's your husband and why isn't your head covered? You can't talk to me. But I've been watching videos on people that have been like talking to them. But anyway, like,
what are they called again?
They're called Black Hebrew Israelites. It's an interesting thing. You should look it up. But like, even though we might not be dealing with those type of people all the time, I think that I try, at least in my own personal life, to make sure that the things I'm saying out of my mouth, or even just like on my social media, are showing people like where I stand. And I think in doing that, I think it encourages other people around to also be bold in their faith, even if it's not like face to face, just in general.
I think that's what I try to do too.
Yeah.
And encourage.
Yeah. And always welcoming the conversations of, if I have friends or people who don't love the Lord, like, open that conversation. And I'm not starting those conversations with, we're going to go out to coffee and I'm like, hey, this is why you're a sinner and you're going to hell. But I think to myself, where is my platform right now? And my platform right now is currently my social media, which has a lot of people that don't love the Lord that watch my stories. Mm-hmm. And so I try to make sure my stories are very much, this is what the Bible says, that the Bible is true and real, and this is what God says, and this is what God says about us as people and us as sinners and the world, and like, period. With no, oh, maybe it's my truth or your truth or our truth. This is the truth.
That's one of the biggest issues. I think one of the things that is really critical and can be missing is that there are absolutes, and to have that conversation. And I think that's what people who have not given their life to Jesus, and like you said, it's not that they're these terrible atheist haters at all. It's just that they are not going to accept authority.
Yeah.
For example, for people who say, listen, the way I feel determines my gender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so they're eliminating any authority above themselves.
Wow.
And when you reject that authority, you go down a path of just chaos.
You're right. That's exactly what they're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've got a really good friend I'm very close with for a long period of time, and he just does not. The whole lordship issue is the thing. It's not that he doesn't want to be like, I'll ask these people, hey, what if everybody was a whole lot more like Jesus? Mm-hmm. Would the world be a better place? Most of them will agree if we walk through it and say, okay, here's an example of his generosity. Here's his mercy. This is the kind of person that he was. He was a real person, mm-hmm. and he acted this way. If we all acted that way, the locksmiths would all go out of business. But the problem is that you get to the lordship issue, and that is the battleground, and it's always the battleground. Mm-hmm. It always gets down to that.
That's the submission point.
Yep, and it's tricky business. But I think it's undoable, like with the things that you're saying. There's an old saying, what you do, who you are, speaks so loudly mm-hmm. that I can't hear a word you're saying. Mm-hmm. So if our words are saying one thing, but our behavior and our actions are saying another, your life's just speaking too loudly mm-hmm. in a bad way. You flip that, and all these people that we know who are incredibly wonderful human beings
yeah.
acting like Jesus, that's hard to argue with.
Mm-hmm.
A sacrificially generous, loving person?
Yeah.
Man, how are you going to undo that argument?
Yeah. I also think it's important to process the barriers when it comes to sharing the love of Jesus, whatever way that is, whether it's on your social media or in person or in general, just like with friends or family. It's hard.
Let me ask you this, because I agree with you, and I'm still working on it, but as I processed it, let me ask you, do you think that fear, for a Christian, is fear a greater barrier or apathy? Which one's a bigger obstacle?
Fear.
Yeah.
Fear.
I don't think so.
Really?
No? I used to think.
Explain.
Okay, yeah. So I used to think, I'm afraid that I'm going to mess it up. I'm afraid I'm going to ruin the relationship. I'm afraid I won't have all the answers. And then I thought, you are so busy and mm-hmm. distracted that you're not seeing that fear is in the way of somebody going to an eternal hell, mm-hmm. especially somebody you love and you care about. Do you really believe that? Do you believe somebody else is going to do it? And I think that's the thing that I see. It says perfect love casts out fear. And that speaks to something else about judgment. But it also is true with the fact if you understand the love of God for you and what he did for you and what he sacrificed for you, and he did it for them too, mm-hmm. that love is so monumental, that just displaces fear. I'm so sorry. There's nothing up to and including I'm going to get my head chopped off in some militant, crazy country,
yeah.
which will probably not happen here. That fear should be displaced by, I understand his love for me and his love for them, and I want your love for the lost, Father. So I think fear is like second.
You're right.
And the other one is busyness and apathy.
Sure.
That's how I feel.
You're right, because the apathy yeah. leads to the fear.
Yeah, I think that to me, fear feels bigger because I think that it's fear of a lot of things. I mm-hmm. think that one of the things that I personally have struggled with is I live in this world and I'm a Christian. And my Christianity obviously is, it's not, oh, I'm this and I'm a Christian. For me personally, like, I'm a Christian and it bleeds into everything I do. It is everything I do. But it's also like, I still have to live here. And sometimes there's like a fear or an awkwardness of, if other people aren't really picking up what I'm putting down as a Christian, then I have to live in that awkwardness of maybe them not talking to me, maybe them not wanting to be my friend. And in the last recent years, without getting super deep into it, but I've had an event where someone very close to me made a choice that I didn't agree with,
mm-hmm.
and it ripped our friendship apart, and it was very awkward. It was very painful. I struggled a long time through that whole thing, thinking that I was wrong and that I was a horrible person and that I wasn't sympathetic, which I was told, but also like I had a hard time with that. And I remember thinking like there were times where I thought it would have just been easier to just be like, yeah, I have my beliefs and this is how you feel now, but we can still be really close, like friends, and we'll just figure it out and we'll just walk through it and we'll see. Because that would have kept my life the way that it was going. I wouldn't have lost my
friends. Easy street.
Yeah. Easy street. But instead, it went this whole thing where I spent a long time thinking, like, did I make the right decision? And now I know that I did. Yeah. But I know there's a lot of people that maybe they just feel like, if I don't bring up this conversation with my brother or my family, then we'll just be brother and sister, brother and brother, and we won't have any strife or tension. And I think the really hard concept when it comes to standing for Christ in the midst of society and just people that don't believe and that maybe don't care or think it's foolish is the Bible talks about that we have to.
Yeah.
That it I don't know exactly the verse, but the verse that says it's like mother against daughter. And I think that, I don't know if I'm taking that out of context, but basically, like, we have to stand for Jesus and proclaim the gospel of Jesus and the love of Jesus, even if it feels awkward.
Yeah.
Even if it hurts, even if people are like, you're ridiculous, or, you know, you're whatever. And it's going to be painful. It's going to be fearful, and it's going to be hard, but it's necessary. And I think sometimes we need to talk more about how do you maneuver through that season when you finally stood for Jesus and the people around you might not stand with you anymore, and you just have to like look in the face of God and be like, I know I'm right, but I feel alone.
It's insufficient.
Yeah.
That's the only way.
Even when it is really hard. And this is really a good one to dig into. I'm glad we're talking about this, because I think that the tone of our heart is really critical in those situations. Because if you're the big shot, holier than thou morality police, then that conversation is not going to have a genuineness and a love, speaking the truth and love. You start with the love, and so when you come into the situation, your tone will be different. And hopefully, these are with people that you have relationship with, and they know your character, they know your heart, they know who you are, so that you get the right to be heard.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you win the argument. So Sarah told a story 3 years ago where she had a close friend, and I might get it wrong, but her friend was moving in with her boyfriend. And so she took a stand and said, hey, friend, this is a bad path for you. Yeah. I just want to tell you, because I genuinely care for you. This is not what you should be doing, because I know you and I'm not holding you up to my standard, blah, blah, blah. And so she talks to him. That person came back to her later and said, thanks for being the only friend that told me the truth.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't always happen, but I think that's part of it. You start with the tone and you speak the truth in love and you be strong. And you don't take the easy street, because people need people that speak the truth in love.
Yeah. And wasn't it Penn, the famous magician, that said that even though he's atheist, he treasures a Christian or a friend that would actually tell him about Jesus, because that's a sign of true love to him.
Yeah.
Because if they truly believe that and they're not trying to seek after him, then how much could they really care about him?
And that's where we take a circle back to fear, because what we're talking about is fear of man.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say it because I'm fearing this situation, the relationship that I would lose, or the argument I would lose,
which is why
like
it comes back to apathy.
Yeah,
yeah, I got
and
it.
And so you just live a different life. And in previous generations, I think it's changing. I do, but I think in previous generations we compartmentalized our church life. I'm not even going to call it our Christian life. It was our church life. I had a buddy, and I said, "What's God doing at your work?" Mm-hmm. And he goes, "God's not at my work." And I go, you're there. Do you leave him somewhere? Are you like my buddy that wrote the Monday Morning Atheist? You just leave God in the church when you walk out? And I think that generational thing, I think it's changing. And
it
I
is.
Think that's why we're seeing a startling number of people going, I need truth. Where's the truth?
Yeah.
With a genuine Nicodemus kind of question, not a pharisaical Sadducee kind of thing, but they're really seeking the church, the truth, and we have it, just like you said.
Yeah, and I think that even more important now in this particular season, like you're talking about with leading in love, is now we have this influx of people who are coming back to church from the catalyst, the events that happened a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we talk about in our home group is the necessity for Christians to be willing to like go forth and disciple the people that are now coming into church. Because a lot of them that I've seen are people who are like, I haven't been to church in 20 years.
Yeah. We're having those conversations weekly now.
I haven't opened my Bible in this amount of time. And I mean, like,
it gets me so excited. Yeah,
some of it is they'll say, oh, Charlie Kirk went to church, and I feel like I want to honor him by doing that.
That's amazing.
And, yeah. Wow. No, yeah. I tell people that in the Bible, when it says that we're drawn to him, I don't think it says how.
Right.
I don't think it says, is the way how, is that like they're only drawn in because they had a friend who's been pestering them for years to go to church and they decide one morning.
Supernatural too.
It's like there's any amount of reasons for Jesus to draw him to himself. And this one, this particular instance was a catalyst. And I think that when these people are coming into church, there's still a need for us to share the gospel because they don't know. They're coming for whatever reason. They feel that like things are going wrong and this is the only place they can go, or Charlie went to church and they want to honor him, or they saw the memorial speech and they felt like inclined by the faith that was like portrayed on the stage.
Yep.
And this is still a chance for us to come alongside and be like, this is what it is. This is what's happening. This is what it means.
It is why being steadfast and long-term committed to Jesus is so important, because you'll get all sorts of situations. This is a national situation. Mm-hmm. For the people who don't go to Foothills, like, our attendance is at all-time highs. 500 more people are coming to church, mm-hmm. and they're coming and saying that stuff, like crying. Charlie Kirk was my hero, and I've never been to church, but I just drove 30 minutes to come here because mm-hmm. I saw it. Okay, so that's a way in. But even individually, you get a dude who's a heartbeat away because of probably stupid decisions, and he's a heartbeat away from a divorce.
Yeah.
And he's got 3 or 4 little kids, and his life is crashing,
mm-hmm.
and he remembers his grandma. He remembers the guy at work.
Yeah.
He remembers the person who said, hey, come to church. And so he goes back and he's just desperate to cling on to something. Jesus will use everything. Mm-hmm. So that's why that steadfast walk is really important, because you might not be seeing fruit at your work right now, but mm-hmm. when that person goes through crisis and they see genuine Jesus inside of you, then when they're desperate, they'll come. And then we've got great pastors preaching the truth. We got people that are just hospitable and loving. I'll take them to lunch. And I see it every week. It's incredible.
It's incredible. It's encouraging. I think that it strengthens our faith.
Yeah.
It strengthens our desire to die. We've been battling
for so long to see mm-hmm. fruit like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to my husband and I was saying that it is interesting to see like the gospel preached from, and I think Neil was saying this at the Freedom Conference, it was interesting and a little shocking, because I feel like, even though I'm only 33, I feel like society-wise, it's felt like people feel like they need to be like secret Christians. People feel like they need to be like, yeah, like I'm a Christian, and then people were like, what? Or I used to bring my Bible to my old job and people would be like, are you reading the Bible on your lunch break? Like it was like some crazy thing.
Church and state.
And I'm like, yeah. Or just like, and I feel like this last week to see the gospel preached from a executive office, in a sense.
Yeah.
I know that we can't bank.
Are you talking about JD?
Yeah, just at the memorial. I know that we can't bank on the fact that these people are 100% submitted, knees to the floor Christians. I can't say that. But even just to hear like the Vice President of the United States of America say things like, this is like the most I've talked about Jesus, or just to like hear all the prayer, or just see that there was like hours of worship at this funeral with people like the president and I think the Secretary of State was there, or just like to watch that, it felt like something is shifting. And I feel like the time for Christians to be a Christian everywhere, no matter where you're at,
is
now. And I think it's important now. And I think that it feels like there's a shift. And I can't put my finger exactly on it.
Biblically, this doesn't happen too many more times.
Yeah, and I'm not 33.
Right.
Yeah.
And you are. 33 plus.
In heart.
Yes. and not on my race watch. We've seen a little bit. We've talked about 9/11 and things happened there, but not like this.
Right.
And then I remember sitting in the kitchen watching a black and white 12-inch TV when John Kennedy was murdered. Mm-hmm. And the coming together. But you know what? None of it in my decades of life has been like it is right now. And
yeah, that was probably more like patriotism.
Because it was shocking. The country was less polarized too. Like today, it's.
But in the 60s, Matt, even I got a couple years on you, when there was the Watts riots, in the 60s, there was violence and they were burning down cities.
Yeah, my dad worked those. He was a police officer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There was some real polarity there. Most of it was racial. But we are so polarized right now. However, we're seeing people that are the ones that are in the middle and they go, can't be right. And when people are celebrating, I was in a meeting last night and a firefighter said when some of the people came back after Charlie Kirk died, they were fist bumping each other and saying, yes, he's dead.
Yeah.
And then so he stood up and he said, sorry, I'm going to do this as best I can and still remain a Christian, but that is horrifying as first responders and someone murdered that you would talk like that. And people are losing their jobs over doing stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So the people that are way on the fringe of hate in this situation, they're not really coming anywhere. But the people who are going, wait a minute, this is upside down. This isn't right.
Yeah.
They are making this kind of shift and they need to see Christians who aren't being secret Christians that are saying, hey, I don't have all the answers. Come to church. And like John Wimber, it's low fruit.
Yeah.
It's people who are genuine.
Yeah, for sure.
Going, hey, what's up with this, Brianna? Yeah. I know you're a Christian because I see online and I saw you with your Bible. So what's the deal? And you go, hey, maybe I don't have all the answers, but I'll go seek them out with you.
Yeah.
I'll go look in those questions with you.
Yeah. I'm hoping to get into this in our super secret upcoming recording we're having next week.
Yeah, I know.
But I mean, in the very baseline question, I feel like, Kevin, for some reason, I feel like you're the pinnacle guru of sharing the gospel.
I give you 29 names right now of people that have been on the show de-guru me for sure.
I feel
sure.
like it's just your heart's nature. I feel like the only thing that I keep thinking is like, what do we do now? As Christians, what do we do?
We keep doing.
Yeah, what do we do now?
We keep doing. Like, we keep going. We keep being that example. Yeah. We keep being that light. We keep speaking Jesus.
You know? That's true, but something changes a little bit, though. Yes, we keep moving forward, but there is something in a weird mist. I don't want to be mystical, but like shifting in the wind.
Yeah, there is.
And one of the things that I hope in the next recording we do to bring up is the time now is demanding a little more assertion.
Yeah. Intentionality.
Intention and assertion.
Step into it.
Yes. With sharing the gospel, with standing for truth. There is.
And loving people.
Loving people.
I think that's the most important thing. Loving people, because it leads to everything else.
Yeah. Because they're seeing hatred. They're seeing murder.
Yeah.
They're seeing like crazy chaos. And then just love like Jesus loved.
Love the people that disagree with you.
Did you finish your thought? Because I want to tell you an example.
Almost.
Go for it.
Yes. I don't mean to be like, yeah, let's get him. But yes, loving people. Yes, loving people like Jesus loved people. Also, standing for what is right. Loving people does not mean agreeing with wickedness.
Agreed.
Loving people does not mean I love you so much that I'm going to let you do and think whatever you want
tolerance.
To. Loving people. Yeah, I don't think that loving people means tolerance. I think that when we think about the concept of love, when I talk to people who are like Christians, but I know that they're not like submitted Christians, their version of loving people, or the version that's been like circulated, is like, that means that I'm not going to bring any tension into this. I'm going to let you do what you want to do.
Right.
I'm going to live my Christian life. You're going to know I'm Christian, but I'm not going to have any ill will towards what you do. And I think that is a fake
It's not love.
It's a mask version of love.
That's not fake.
Yeah, it's not love at all.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important as Christians to clarify, when I say that I'm loving you like Jesus loved me and like Jesus loves, it means that there is a righteous and holy way to live your life.
Amen.
And Jesus loved us enough to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yes. Girl, girl.
And so I think that like in this season, what I feel like is shifting is I see a lot of like creators online who are like, oh, I'm losing like 30,000, 50,000 like followers.
Yeah, yeah.
And their response isn't, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to offend anybody. Their response is, I don't care that I lost these followers.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
I care about you. I care that you come to Jesus, but I am a Christian and I stand for Jesus before I stand for anybody else, before I stand, before I accept your opinion, before I accept yours. And it might feel like it hurts. It might feel like I'm not against you. It might feel like I'm against you. It might feel like I'm not for you. It might feel like I hate you. But in reality, I don't, because I want you to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven, not an eternity without the presence of God.
And if an Instagram influencer can be bold enough to do that, and
are
like
Frank
six
Forrest.
People that we know, we can do it. And I got to tell you, you said a word that I really wanted to talk about, and it's hate. So I think we need to hate well. I think we need to hate the things that God hates. If somebody just gets this blip out there and puts this out there, they're going to go, oh, yeah, he's a hater. Yeah, I'm a hater.
Yeah.
I hate the destruction of the enemy in your life.
Yeah.
Come on.
I hate the lies that the enemy has told you over and over again.
And over.
I hate it with a vicious hatred. My hate that I believe that God has planted in my heart for the things that steal and devour and destroy people is a motivator for me.
Mm-hmm.
So we can, if you get the hate, you'll get the love right.
Come
that
on.
Hate isn't for the person. The hate is for the enemy that would try to destroy. And it's very clear when you see little children and you see the types of things that they have to go through and family decisions that are destructive and hideous. And so I think, we have to be godly haters.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could have that conversation, if somebody would have a legit conversation with, what do you hate? Let's talk about hate. Then I think that would be of value. I think it would cause some resolution. But
yeah, I think
that's a tough one.
I think we need to be willing to have tension with people for the sake of their souls.
Yeah, that's a great way to say
it. I think we need to be willing to, when we're sharing the gospel, when we're proclaiming the good news and love of Jesus, I think we need to be willing for people to be like, you're annoying, and this is what you always talk about, and I don't want to talk about it anymore, and I can't be your friend because of whatever. I think that we need to be willing to do that for the sake of people's souls. And I think that in true, earnest, holy, righteous Christianity, you have to be willing to make people feel uncomfortable. And it's, I think that also realizing that there is something outside of us happening. Like, we don't save people. We don't transform people. We don't save people. And that when we're like thinking about these things, and if we're thinking about them so like in like existential, oh my gosh, I have to, and if I don't, then blah, blah, blah. I think that remembering that at the end of the day, God is in control and that he is like the orchestrator of it. But I do think that we have to be willing to be what the world sees as adversarial, you know, because I think that's what that's how they view it. They view Christians as people that are like coming up against them and not being for them. And I think we have to be, going back to the fear and apathy, you have to be willing to stand in that and be like, you know what? This is what you think, but this is not true. This is how I'm loving you.
Yeah.
And this is how I'm going to continue to love you and continue. And in this season, I really do think that there is going to have to be more of that for all Christians, of what is truth, what is righteous, what is holy, and let God be truth and all men liars.
And this is a summation of it for this point.
Yes.
Do it with gentleness and respect.
Yeah.
And if you'll hang on to that, then the tone of Jesus's heart will beat out of your chest and they'll hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what Jesus did.
Yep.
That's what he does.
And you are sent.